Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What do you say we just have a night of good food, good music, good conversation, and put the past on the back burner for a few hours?
I'd have to say that's the best offer I've gotten in quite a while.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek, Season 2. Episode 20, reunited. Now here he goes.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listener. Before we get into this episode, we want to tell you what's happening on our Patreon. Again with this, episode 217 is going to be dropping November 22nd. Let's watch Emma Caulfield Ford in a Thanksgiving episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
That's season 4, episode 8. It's called Pangs. It's on Hulu. We will link it in the show notes. I recall this being kind of a controversial one, but I believe it's also the one where Xander's penis gets diseases from the Chumash tribe.
Gets diseases from a Chumash tribe. Yep, that's
sung
the one.
Out in the musical episode. So look out for that.
Yeah, that song was on my wedding playlist. In retrospect, it's like, here's how you could tell Dad didn't listen to Buffy. You could strike that. Anyway.
It's a great song.
In other news, we are about to take our holiday break. So this Thursday, November 21st, the latest Again With Them will be dropping a week early. This is our monthly recap digest of Jenny and Tori's terrible podcast, 90210 OMG. And we would love to give you a preview of what we're going to be talking about. But we are taping this before we've even done the October episode, so going out on a skinny limb, it'll probably be annoying unless all three of them have been replaced by iHeart. Anyway, because of this break, also, our December Again With Them will actually be the December and a bit of January Again With Them, and that will drop on January 9th, 2025. The future. Look forward to that. And you can join us at againwiththispodcast.com/club at various levels for various extras. We hope that you shall.
Yes. Let's get into this episode, starting with our B plot. Andy is not doing great. We open the episode in Dawson's room, where all the opening credits kids plus the McPhees are sprawled around the bed watching a movie. For the new viewers, Dawson has to call out the fact that they're all hanging out given everything they've all gone through this season. Jack jumps in and the pop culture references start a flying. Clip 2.
Yeah, it is bizarre. I mean, the way we all started the school year and we actually all managed to come out to be friends.
Yeah, like St. Elmo's. Yeah, St. Elmo's from hell.
That would be a negative spin.
I just think it's important in times of muddling reflection to incorporate a little honesty.
You know what? I happen to agree with Joey. I mean, sure, we've all grown to tolerate each other, but I still think that we're like a long shot off from 90210 land of best friends forever.
Well, I don't know. I kind of think Andy's got a point. I mean, there has been a lot of hanging out lately. Like when?
Yeah.
Well, like right now, for instance. Have we even stopped to consider why we've all come here together tonight? If not our need to cohabitate in, dare I say it, a clique.
Oof. Scary. Yeah, Pacey, when you say it like that...
Wait a minute, though. I mean, no offense to anybody here, but I called up Pacey to invite him over to watch a couple movies. It hardly qualifies as group hanging out.
Yeah, but then I invite Andy.
I invited Jack.
And I better not need an invitation.
And I live here now.
Let's face it, guys. We are this far away from the Peach Pit. What?
Kill him.
At least they respect their elders. I'll give them that.
Yeah. I mean, you know who really wants to kill him is the production assistant who had to clean up the pillow fight, which, because it's TV, naturally a pillow burst and feathers were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Burst.
Yeah. I also guess they were short on the runtime because it goes on for so long that they have to like re-loop the instrumental opening of I Don't Want to Wait before it gets into the lyrics. Anyway, considering the cheerful as fuck cold open, it's kind of a shock to come out of the commercial break to Andy showing up at school with brown hair, about which Pacey can't conceal his dislike. You can see the visual aids for a gif of Jack frantically gesturing to Pacey to shut up and pretend he's into it. But Andy says haircuts are gauged by initial reaction, so everything Pacey says now will not convince her. So Pacey tries changing the subject. Clip three.
About tonight, I was thinking maybe a movie, dinner, a nice romantic stroll down by the pier.
Think again. I've got to study for finals. Not to mention, take care of Mom.
Andy, it's Friday night. You have plenty of opportunity to hit the books over the weekend. You say we take tonight off.
You know, good idea. You should. I mean, you should take tonight off. I would love it, but I'm going to study.
Do I deserve this?
Oh, geez, how could I do this?
What?
Damn it!
What's the matter?
I have the wrong book for pre-calc. Mrs. Sanders is going to kill me.
Maybe it's in your locker.
Yeah, well, it better be. I'll see you later.
Okay, so...
It's the hair. Okay, she's extra sensitive. She did herself.
That explains why the color's so flat, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, the home color market was not doing the, like, highlights or sort of synthetic, whatever they're calling it, the Faria experience. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God, Faria. That takes me back. That's a name I haven't heard in years. Inside, Andy's at her locker when she sees a tall, dark-haired guy across the hall smiling at her. She smiles back, and every time she looks at him, he doesn't make any move to approach, and she seems to get more agitated with each peek she sneaks. And then that night, we join Andy in therapy as Marley tells her she may be experiencing complicated grief. Andy says what she's feeling has nothing to do with Tim, but Marley meant Abby's death seems to have upset Andy a great deal and triggered unresolved issues around Tim's death. Andy nods, but the way she's not meeting Marley's eyes suggests this isn't something she wants to deal with at all. And no, she has not seen Abby again since that one time in her room, which we find out was a month ago. Also, she actually might not have seen Abby at all. Marley gently says it's okay if she did, but Andy repeats that she doesn't think she did. Marley gives Andy her home number to call if her anxiety gets worse. She also wants to talk next week about the possibility of getting Andy some medication. Andy seems like she's about to cry as she reminds Marley that she had said Andy wouldn't have to take medication again. But Marley says that what's going on inside Andy might not be healing itself properly. This is not what Andy wants to hear, but she tries to hold it together. But afterward, Andy tensely gets into her car, and the boy from the hallway at school is sitting in her passenger seat, and this time he speaks. Clip four.
I like your hair.
Thanks.
Did you tell her about me?
I couldn't.
That's good. What we have is a secret.
Not for long. They're gonna find out, Brown, and then we're gonna have to leave each other.
I'm not going anywhere.
Promise me? Because I can't lose you. I don't have this with anyone else. I mean, no one listens like you do. I'm so scared. God, why is this happening to me? Why is it you?
Hubby.
Yeah, I didn't remember this being this intense, but she's really leaving it all on the field.
On the wheel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I get that this is supposed to be a misdirect as to who this is, but the hair petting is a bad choice for reasons we can discuss when his identity is revealed. Although, if you've seen TV before, you probably already guessed.
Yeah. Also, I also get that it's a misdirect, but like, don't have... Should I just say what it is?
Sure.
Don't have fucking Tim's ghost, A, played by a 32-year-old, and B, using the language of coercive control. Like, again, We all understand what is being attempted here, but there is another way to misdirect that without having him sound like he's in a traveling production of whatever that movie was with Jennifer Lopez and the towels.
Oh, enough.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Later, Andy's on her bed in her pajamas watching TV with Pacey when she gets up and announces that she's going to get herself a drink. And the way you can tell she and Pacey are not in a good place is that she doesn't ask if he wants anything from the kitchen, which is the literal least any decent person would or should do when they're going to the kitchen. I'll die on this hill. I'm sorry.
I ask you that? We don't live in the same time zone. It's just automatic.
Uh-huh.
Going to the corner, want anything?
Yep. Want anything from H-E-B, put it on the list. So that guy, Tim, is in the kitchen, and he's a lot less friendly to him now than she was earlier. Clip 5.
You're late. I thought you'd come earlier.
Are you okay?
Look, we can't talk right now, okay? Pacey is upstairs, and I don't want him to find out
about
you.
I don't care about him, Andy. I care about you, and I hate seeing you like this.
Look, you know what? It's just too hard having you both here at the same time, okay?
Yeah. Again with the inappropriate music cues.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's with the copyright compliance Say Ferris in the background of this grief-induced hallucination?
Yeah, I need to... I'll look it up in the next break. I think that might be the original song, but I'll see. It is also a weird choice either way. But back upstairs, Pacey kills time while waiting for her by flipping through a photo album. He quickly changes his mind, though, and comes downstairs, setting it on a hall table before stopping outside the kitchen door to eavesdrop. Clip 6.
It's not like that, Brown. I can't just tell him. It's not that easy. I mean, there are too many repercussions that I'm not ready to deal with. Besides, why do I have to tell him in the first place? Would you understand if you were him?
No, I guess I wouldn't.
Then there's nothing I can do.
There is something. You can choose.
I won't do that, Brown.
I think this is as close as legal would let them get to suggesting that he's telling her to end her life. Right?
Oh, really?
You don't think?
Huh.
When he's like, there is something you can do.
I think you're probably right, actually, but I just didn't go there because I assumed that, like, for whatever other divergences from realism they were constantly committing, I just never thought they would be that irresponsible.
I mean, I think they're, like, as close to the line as you can get.
Yeah. Right?
Like, he never actually says it in those words, but...
Yeah, now that you say it, yeah, that's... That is probably what the choice is. I guess I just put arm barred that from my brain. It was like, he's just talking about, like, you know, living in your delusion versus living in reality. That's pretty clearly not what's going on. You are correct.
So that's when Pacey bursts in. We see that Andy's alone because, you know, ghost. Then Pacey assumes that Andy was on the phone, but when she denies it, his next guess is that she was talking to another guy, which she denies, yelling at Pacey to leave. When she chases him to the foyer, Pacey observes that her moods have been erratic since Abby's death, and if she's not seeing someone else, maybe there's a medical issue. She snaps that if she's such a hassle, then maybe he should just break up with her. He protests that he just wants to help, but she yells that he wants explanations for things she can't explain to him, and they go on. Clip 7.
Can you at least explain these?
It's a photo album.
No, it's pictures of you and your family I've never seen before. All right, you had them out and you're going through them. Why?
It's none of your business.
Andy, you changed your hair back to look like it does in these photos of you and your brothers.
And?
And coming on the heels of a month when you have been acting anything but normal, I just find it a little odd that you would all of a sudden revert back to a hairstyle you had 3 years ago.
Okay, so that's what this is all about? You're freaking out because I went back to an old hairstyle. Okay, which one of us has the problem here?
Just tell me that your hair has nothing to do with these pictures.
Give me back the book.
Why are you acting like this?
I said give me back the book!
Ooh. R.I.P. lamp. Just to lighten the mood a little bit, I also have once gotten a haircut so bad that people were concerned about me, and it was because I tried to trim my own bangs. it.
Oh,
this is when I was in college. And I thought, having seen my hairstylist do it so many times, like just doing the scissors vertical, you know, they like try and thin them out like that. I thought I could do that. I haven't been to hair school. I can't do that. So when I got my haircut the next time, my hairstylist had to see it like that. She was like, "Were you upset the day you did this?" Like, honestly, asked me that. I was like, "No, I'm just overconfident in my own abilities to cut hair."
Yeah.
Anyway, to hang up the phone on the earlier discussion about the song, that was surrounded by Binge. It was not a replacement. I actually think the jangly guitars are like not as jarring a choice as in the previous episode, but you know, I respect your opinion on this, but it is the same.
It seemed a little discordant, as it were.
So back to the scene. As they both regard the wreck of the lamp, Andy defeatedly says Pacey can do what he wants, but she's going to bed. And when she's gone, Pacey reaches down to pick up a photo from the album. And I guess this is supposed to be what finally confirms who Brown is, because it's a shot of her with both of her brothers. But, you know, again, we already got there on our own. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then Jack gets back from the ice house and finds Pacey cleaning up the broken lamp and worrying that something's really, really wrong. Jack reluctantly says he caught Andy talking to herself last night, and Pacey says he did too. Clip 8.
Talking with who? I don't know. I mean, I didn't hear the whole conversation, but it sounded like she was talking to someone named Brown. You know who that is.
It's my name for Tim. And I asked that I couldn't pronounce Timothy, so I called him by my favorite color, brown.
What child's favorite color is brown? This should have been a warning sign years ago.
Yeah.
Honestly.
What's your favorite color? Despair.
Right. Anyway.
Cool toddler.
They go on. Clip 9.
You think I'm crazy, but I'm not.
Oh, Andy. Nobody said that.
I know what you're thinking, and I'm not. I'm not crazy. I'm not like Mom. I see Tim, and he is here.
We know, Andy. Andy.
So that was her running into a powder room, slamming the door. And when we return to this half of the episode, Pacey's pounding on the door. Jack's taking off to find something to try and jimmy it with. Inside, when Andy turns around, she sees Tim reflected in the mirror. Clip 10.
Andy, stop crying.
Go away!
I'm not going anywhere, Andy.
Not you, Tim!
Is he in there right now? Is Tim in there with you?
I said go away! You're not real!
God! Andy, what was that? What broke? Are you all right?
Let me try this.
Don't go in here, Pacey!
Tim! Andy, open the door!
They don't believe you, Andy. They think you're crazy, but you're not.
Yes, I am. I am crazy.
Who said you're crazy, Andy? I don't think you're crazy, and Jack doesn't think you're crazy either, okay?
Yes, you do.
No, we don't. I believe you, Andy. Okay, I believe that you're seeing Tim right now and that he's there and you're talking to him. But you know what? It's not fair that Tim can see me and I can't see him, so I need you to do me a favor. I need you to tell me what he's saying.
I'll take care of you.
Okay?
You can't trust anyone else. They don't understand.
He says you don't understand.
You tell Tim that he's wrong. I may not understand everything that's going on with you right now, Andy, but I understand you. Do you hear me? You tell Tim that.
You have to choose, Andy. Let me take care of you. I'll make you better.
Eep.
Don't care for that.
No. Also, bad season for mirrors and Andy. That's the second one she's broken that we've seen.
Yeah. That I think that bad luck is just running out like now.
Uh-huh.
Poor kid.
Andy whimpers that she can't choose, but Pacey says Tim's right. She has to, and Pacey is begging her to open the door, come out and choose him, because Pacey and Jack need her more than Tim does. Pacey's life began when he met Andy. She never gave up on him, so he won't give up on her. And Andy sobs as she stares into Tim's eyes, then feebly pulls herself up and comes out. Pacey holds her, and everyone's relieved for now. And after the commercial, Jack and Pacey have just finished putting Andy to bed, and Jack is reluctantly saying they need to call his dad. These children do need help from an adult, but my God, that's not the one. Like, Grams is a nurse, or was, she's retired. Like, please, just call her. She would at least know what resources to point them to.
Yeah. Or, and as we've seen, we'll see in the A-plot, but have seen also before with, between Gail and Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Call Gail.
Yeah, call Gail.
At least you'll get a really good hug out of it, I feel. And then you all can just go through the phone book together, but someone. Mm-hmm.
So Pacey doesn't like the idea of calling his dad either, but Jack understands that they are out of their depth. Clip 11.
Maybe she just needs time to heal. Right? Time could heal her.
No, not with this. Time makes things worse.
You don't know that, Jack.
Yes, I do. What should happen with my mother? You know, at first it was just like this. A few minor episodes here and there, and then before anybody wanted to deal with it, she was too far gone. You know, the doctors, they gave us this clinical explanation that they said that she had repressed her grief over my brother's death to the point where she couldn't experience it with anyone. So she had to, her subconscious had to create someone to experience it with. I remember feeling so small and helpless when I heard that. I wanted so badly to believe that there was something that I could do. But there wasn't.
Yeah, they didn't have this then, but now it doesn't seem like a bad idea to mention that if you would like to call someone for support, 988 24/7, it is available to you.
Mm-hmm. Later, Andy rolls over in bed to Pacey sitting next to it. She asks what's going to happen to her. He says she will see some door doctors, get on the right prescriptions, and be fine. But she wants to know what if she's not. Pacey says that's not happening. She cries that she's scared. He is too. She doesn't want to lose him. He promises she never will. They exchange I loves yous and hold each other as the anonymous pop voice on the soundtrack sings, I don't know, but I hope so, and so do we.
Mm-hmm.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Our A plot is a little lighter. No one planned on a triple date, but here it is, packed with hijinks.
Yeah, here's a sentence I never thought I'd say. Phew, hijinks.
Joey finds Dawson outside school, throws her arms around him, and asks what they're doing that night. He suggests dinner and a movie, which she says is exactly what they've done the last four Friday nights. He says they don't have to rent one, then they can go to the theater. And when she pouts, Dawson whines that he does try to make their evenings as spontaneous as possible. But Joey says they've known each other too long for their chemistry to produce spontaneity, which I think is a wordy way of saying she's bored by him. And if not, that is how he interprets it. But she tries to schmoop him back on track by pointing out it's the month anniversary of whatever their relationship status currently is.
Oh, high school.
It seems like he's already given up on romance, or has he? Clip 12.
Joey, we are boring, trite people. Okay, we're absolutely incapable of spontaneity. We do things like plan and organize and make reservations weeks in advance at top-notch restaurants to celebrate one-month anniversaries of whatever it is we are or are.
Didn't.
It was gonna be a surprise until you got all persnickety on me.
I didn't get persnickety.
You're cute. It's okay, you're very cute persnickety.
I did not hit persnickety. Okay, that was persnickety.
No, it wasn't. It was nagging, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
Persnickety is like, no, don't put the kitchen utensils away over there. I have them in a particular order. That's persnickety.
Yeah. I don't think it's used correctly once in this episode. So
oh, no, it's not.
Enjoy.
No. Back at the Leary house, Jen is sitting on the steps looking across at Grams's place. When Gail rolls up and suggests that Jen call her, Jen doesn't think either of them would know where to start or where it would lead. She says there are some people who aren't meant to fit in your life no matter how much you want them to. Gail is intimately familiar with that situation, and Jen apologizes for triggering her about Mitch. Gail suggests that they just have a night of good food, music, and conversation and stop thinking about the past. Jen loves this idea. Gail, I must implore you to make an adult friend, but then she hugs Jen and it is cute.
It is.
Elsewhere, Mitch and Miss Kennedy are walking in town to a restaurant called Entre Nous, which she has to translate means just between us. It gets flirty, and when Miss Kennedy stops and kisses Mitch, he gets all flustered, calling it unexpected. Dude, she's letting you take her to a restaurant called Entre Nous, and you think she might not be into you? Just basically what she says, adding that they've been spending a lot of time together, including several dates, so she, you know, thought they were at the kiss stage. And he nervously agrees.
Shouldn't you be past the kiss stage? You're both grown.
Yeah, yes, but I guess not.
Should be fucking by now, well, but okay,
goodbye. He says he's out of practice at dating, so fine, but, you know, I would think she could overcome that. But she tells him the key's not to think about it too hard, teehee. Keeps talking until he stops and kisses her. But uh-oh, clip 13.
Entre Nous, that's where we're going?
No, it's not Entre Nous. It's Entre Nous.
Well, the expression is Entre Nous, but it would be better if the restaurant were called Entre Nous, because Entre? No?
Entre with an E-E?
Yeah.
Like a pun.
Because it's a restaurant.
Yes. Yes, but it's not.
So, okay.
Well, I mean, the other way is if it's like entree with an E-Z, which is like come in, but not right. With new. It would be entrez-vous, like you go in.
Right.
Right.
No, here's...
I understand your logic.
My question is, what is on the awning? Entre new or entre new?
I'm going to guess it's entre and that Katie Holmes' Toledo ass got it wrong.
Right. Okay. But in my heart... It's entree, because that pun is better, even though it's bad French. Okay, we're moving on.
Aco taco. I'll just add, there's a character on Comedy Bang Bang that Ego Nwodim plays called Entre P. Neuer, who is an entrepreneur, and that's all I could hear when I heard Entre Nous.
Neuer. Love it.
Yes. Anyway, Joey worries that this restaurant, the name of which we shall not speak, is too expensive. Dawson shrugs that off with a joke, but she means it. It doesn't matter to her where they go, her earlier bitching about their repetitive Friday nights to the contrary, I guess. Dawson assures her that he wants to take her somewhere nice for their anniversary. And inside, patrons are dancing to a three-piece live band I guess we're supposed to think sound like this. Clip 14. No, that's just a record.
No. It's a jazz combo. There's a picture in the visual aids. I believe I renamed the restaurant Entre Boo because there was jazz when people were trying to eat.
Dawson is whining to the maitre d' that he made his reservations 2 weeks ago, and the guy says he didn't realize there were two Leary parties of two, and points to Mitch, already seated with Miss Kennedy. Dawson's still glaring in horror as Mitch notices him and looks caught. When we return to Jen and Gail, they're building a fire, and Jen's breaking their no-talk-of-the-past rule to ask how likely Gail thinks it is that she and Mitch will reconcile. Gail inappropriately discusses her thus far unsuccessful efforts to get him back. Jen asks about the job in Philadelphia, and Gail says she's waiting for a sign to confirm she should take it. And as Gail yammers on, Jen's distracted by the smell of smoke, because whoops, Gail's pot roast is burning. Back at the restaurant, both Leary parties are crammed around a two-top. Clip 15.
This place is really packed.
I guess that we're lucky that they could squeeze us all in together.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
I'll say. Lucky.
That was a waiter hitting the back of Dawson's head. No one's mad.
Although Dawson's hair is styled in the manner of like a late 60s lady with like that bump towards the front, and then it's just combed over the bump in the back.
Uh-huh.
Just cut it short. Just let him have a five head. It's fine. He would look so much better. But
yep.
Yeah. Like I almost thought there should be a little bow at the top, at the crown, where they start combing it back.
Uh-huh.
This entire scene, like, I, again, understand what they're going for. I understand it's a TV show, but all of this is completely not credible.
No.
That anyone in this situation would put up with any of this for 5 minutes, kids or adults. Also, yes. Mitch is still wearing his wedding ring, and it's very obvious in every shot. I don't know if someone forgot or what happened.
Oh, no, I think that's intentional. I think that goes with the, I wasn't expecting you to kiss me business, you know?
Okay.
But yes, go get a pizza. Like, this is not fun. This is not a special night for the two of you for a variety of reasons, starting with bad vibes. Like, if you stayed, you don't get to be shitty about it. And once again, I don't know how many times I have to say it this season. Joey, leave. Leave social situations that suck fucking ass, which this one really, really does. Clip 16.
Yeah.
Dawson, Nicole and I were just discussing your summer plans.
Yes, your father mentioned the possibility of you interning in Hollywood. You know, I have plenty of contacts there. I'm sure I could set you up with a summer job at an agency or a production company.
Isn't that the city that you said would, and I quote, eat me for breakfast?
Look, I'm sorry if I was hasty in my analysis.
Apology not accepted.
Dawson, you don't mean that.
Yes, I do. Spent months working on a film that you gave 2 seconds of thought to before annihilating, after which you proceeded to steer me away from the business as much as possible. But now that you're dating my father, all of a sudden I'm worthy of an internship in Los Angeles?
You asked me to be truthful, Dawson. Now, I may not be a fan of your work, but I am certainly a fan of your enthusiasm. I mean, there are plenty of other opportunities in the film business, not just creatively speaking.
Ah, so I'm not creative enough.
No, you're misunderstanding me.
I don't think I am.
No.
I mean, they're both right, but Joey, while you're leaving, take Nicole with you. Girl, you are so much better than any of this. Like, he's actually not wrong for once. But like, the minute it becomes clear that this is happening and these two teenagers, despite not being able to drink alcohol to mediate the situation, are going to cram into this table, you get up, you say, this seems like a great time for father and son to spend time together. Mitch, maybe I'll talk to you later. And then you go home.
Yeah.
Take your bra off and forget you know anybody in the Leary family. This is so dumb. She just keeps staying for so much abuse and the food looks terrible also.
Yeah. It's obvious that we're supposed to think like, okay, she hasn't really changed her mind about Dawson. But, you know, when she said all that shit to him in the earlier episode, she wasn't trying to fuck his dad. Like, I get that part of it.
Yeah. So,
I get the Dawson part where it's like, she's saying you could be a production accountant and that's funny. Mm-hmm. Like, there are lots of jobs you could have that aren't creative. Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't hate, it's just like, oh, you're misunderstanding me. And he's like, no,
I don't think I am
being shitty to me. I might deserve it, but I know what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well heard, Dawson.
Yeah. But also, again, leave, but whatever. That's when the server arrives. Joey tells Mitch and Miss Kennedy to order while she pulls Dawson aside to the bar because she maybe heard us. Clip 17.
So this is your idea of a romantic evening?
Joey, that woman trashed my movie, came this close to crushing every single one of my career hopes, and now she's stealing my father. What am I supposed to do? Just talk about the weather?
Dawson, I know. I realize this. But by letting her get the best of you, you're putting a petty little battle before us and our night. I mean, it's upsetting.
I'm sorry. Look, hey, for the sake of our evening, I will rise above.
No, your evening's over. You already ruined it.
No, for the sake of your evening, go to the diner and put stuff on the jukebox and don't be here thinking about this.
Yes.
God.
Go to 7-Eleven, get a bag of Doritos, eat them at the waterfront. Like, it's over. Do your anniversary next week.
Uh-huh.
But They don't. And that's why they're still at Entrenew when Joey spots in the doorway Gail and her new bestie, Jen. And Dawson wonders if this is a French restaurant or a French farce. Sir, I challenge you to name one French farce. Just one. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make that reference.
And I should know, I'm Frasier.
Exactly. So later, Joey joins Jen at the bar to explain the situation. Jen is horrified at first, but then seems to get an idea. Then Dawson returns to the table when Mrs. Kennedy has conveniently gone to the can. He tells Mitch about Gail and Jen's arrival, but he already saw them. Dawson can't believe Mitch is stressed about it, but Mitch says Gail has seen him with Miss Kennedy before. Dawson snits about Gail's big career decision, which Mitch says has nothing to do with him. Dawson says she's potentially running away from Mitch, so yeah, it does. Mitch says any unfinished business between them is just a matter of paperwork now, but Dawson doesn't believe it and urges Mitch not to let Gail leave for both of their sakes. Mitch's and Dawson's. Cut to the can, where Miss Kennedy and Gail awkwardly run into each other post-pee or whatever. Miss Kennedy decides to be an adult and say hi, while Gail decides to be a child and say she was thinking about ignoring her. When Gail confirms that Miss Kennedy's there with Mitch, she decides she might as well take off, and Miss Kennedy agrees that would be fair to Mitch, and that just inflames Gail, who then announces that she's going to let Mitch decide what's fair for Mitch. And after the commercial, we see Gail has used her fame to talk herself into a table. She tries to act bitter about all the happy couples, but Jen guesses that if the band started playing a romantic number, Gail would melt. And do she and Mitch have a song, by the way, just out of curiosity? Over to the squished Leary table, where the maitre d' is delivering a bottle of wine as a gift from another anonymous diner, while Miss Kennedy pontificates about the poor quality of writing in film these days to Mitch, who is barely listening. Mitch looks across the restaurant at Gail and smiles, but the shot of her is from too far away for us to see her reaction. Anyway, clip 18.
Promise me when you're Hollywood bigwig, you won't spend your time trying to make big money pictures. You don't really mean that, Miss Kennedy.
Excuse me?
Well, since you already made it perfectly clear that Dawson shouldn't have anything to do with film, it's a little persnickety of you to imply that he may someday be a Hollywood bigwig, isn't it?
No, it's disingenuous.
Yeah.
Actually.
And cunty would also be a good word for it. But Miss Kennedy is kind of only here to serve whatever the script wants her to do. This is not an actual person with any self-respect, which you can tell because she's still at this table with these boneheads.
No, it's true. Even Dawson looks alarmed at this one. Miss Kennedy sarcastically repeats Joey's word, but not to correct her usage, though she could. And when we return to the table later, Miss Kennedy's still holding court now about the rom-com script she's working on. Clip 19.
I wanted to have the commerciality of a When Harry Met Sally, but with a drier, more ironic tone of a, you know, Nichols and May. Miss Kennedy, just out of curiosity, what exactly was the most lacking thing about Dawson's film?
Oh, God, we have to go through this again?
No, we don't.
I think we should.
Joey.
I'm sorry, Mr. Leary, but there's obviously a serious undercurrent of tension between Dawson and Miss Kennedy. And it seems to me that the only way that they can have peace is to confront the issue that Miss Kennedy finds your son to be completely and totally without talent or ability in any way, shape, or form.
No, I didn't say that.
What was it that you did say?
Yeah, what exactly did you say?
Look, I believe that the key to success is not only having a dream, but having the right dream. There are plenty of people who aspire to be writers and directors, but very few actually have the potential.
Well, who are you to be judging anybody's potential? You spent a couple years in Hollywood before disappearing to some small East Coast town to teach high school. Whatever success you had in Hollywood, it couldn't have been much.
Well, then it really shouldn't matter what I think of your ability, should it?
Well, he's a kid with a dream, Nicole. I mean, is it your job as a teacher to encourage him to follow it?
That's a really cozy fantasy, Mitch. But life has a meaner bite than that.
You know, there's a name for individuals who focus on life's meaner bites. It's called bitter.
No, it's just bitter. It's not called anything. It's just that.
Yeah. And probably not the word you wanted to use is B and C. I don't know. Like, I don't love the those who can't do teach thing anyway, because two different skill sets. But the idea that she just flunked out of Hollywood and came to Cape Side to teach post Catch and Kill and Burn It Down doesn't really fly with me. So Maybe be a little gentler to Miss Kennedy.
True. We didn't know any of that then, though, of course.
We didn't know. And we were supposed to hate her. But of course, at the time, because she was busting Dawson's chops, we were like getting tattoos of her over our own faces. But anyway.
So Miss Kennedy takes this opportunity to excuse herself yet somehow again, not leave. It's Dawson's turn to pull Joey aside and ask what she's doing, particularly in light of her telling him earlier to show some decorum. She plays dumb until Jen joins them to say that Operation Reunited has begun. Obviously, Dawson's curious about what's going on, and Joey and Jen tell him to just go with it moments before the maitre d' shows up and confirms they are the ones who asked for the wine to be sent to Mitch, so the fake ID I assume Jen has is doing its job tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That the maitre d' knows what the plan is while Dawson doesn't only frustrates him more, but Jen just tells him to watch as the band's goopy cover of Reunited starts playing. And Mitch joins Gail to comment on the sound of their song and ask her to dance. And Dawson watches, astonished, as the girls congratulate themselves. And on the dance floor, clip 20.
Thanks for the wine.
The wine?
Yeah, it was mature of you. I appreciated the gesture.
Oh, well, you know moi, Miss Maturity.
So, what's up with Philadelphia? Still deciding?
Considering this evening's seating arrangements, that doesn't seem to be a concern of yours anymore.
Point taken, but as Dawson's father, I feel compelled to make a quiet plea on his behalf.
What do you mean?
He's like his father. He's not very good at expressing himself, and I just don't know how well he's going to get along with you gone.
At first, maybe. But eventually he'll be fine.
Still, if I know Dawson, he's never going to let on just how much he's missing you.
He could ask me to stay.
Yeah, but see, that wouldn't be fair, would it? I mean, you deserve the opportunity too much.
Well, I'll miss him too.
I don't get it.
Oh, God. I mean, Mitch, you still have your wedding ring on. Just invite her to your car and work this out.
Mm-hmm.
The bone fashion way.
Seems like they're about to kiss, but then the song ends and they let go and drift apart. And Mitch back to the table where a resigned Miss Kennedy is somehow waiting. And outside after dinner, Gail thanks Jen for helping her get her signed tonight. The shenanigans were a little Parent Trap-esque for Gail's taste, though, and Jen cracks that she only had short notice. She hopefully asks whether the sign told Gail to stay in Capeside, and Gail says that holding Mitch that night, she realized she could move 10,000 miles away and never let him go. She's sure that he felt it too, but then she looks up and sees him at the waterfront with Miss Kennedy, petting her face and holding her hand, but I hope that Gail doesn't get too bothered by that, because this is Majin and Mick's last episode, so...
Oh, is it?
Yep, We never saw her again.
I mean, she took her sweet time figuring out that she didn't need this shit, but once she figured it out, she figured it out,
she
so...
Really did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so long, Miss Kennedy. Good luck.
Yes. I like to think this was like, well, I guess I'll fuck him and then I'll go back and finish my script in Santa Monica or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
This Capeside weather is extremely unpredictable and it sucks.
Elsewhere on the water, Dawson's holding Joey in a rowboat as she says she's all set on French dinners for a while. And please go to the visual aids because she's like leaning her back against his chest in this very awkward way that she keeps having to turn and look at him. And the way that they're staged, like she keeps having, Katie Holmes keeps making absolutely tortured faces, which I collected in 4-pack.
Well, and like they're in a boat, right? Like
yeah.
That just looks super uncomfortable. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Right.
In the boat.
Boat. She said boat in the boat.
Yeah.
Not anything else. Bob. Dawson thought it was a pretty successful evening. They kiss, but when he starts pulling off her cardigan, let's hear that final clip, 21.
Confession time.
Oh, yeah.
By any chance, did you think by planning this romantic dinner that we would end up, closing the deal?
Joey Potter. You vulgar little thing. See, I prefer the term consummating their ultimate desires.
Oh. Okay.
Exactly. I didn't realize the notion was that preposterous.
It's not. I thought about it too.
But the night is still young.
So are we.
Okay. But you said you thought about it.
What? What?
They flirt some more about how seriously she thought about it until she kisses him again and assures him she considered it. Oh my God, with the kissing, we get it. The lip mics are so loud, which is basically what she says to let him know the night is over. But before Dawson will start rowing, he needs to know how much she considered it. And when she orders him to go, he's like, ooh, forceful. And we all barf. And thank God that's the end. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Let's say Miss Kennedy, because she mostly stuck to her guns in terms of cutting Dawson down. And also, in my head canon, at least got some off Mitch before leaving town.
That's the way to do it. One and done with Mitch. I'm going to say Meredith Monroe. This was not easy to do. And, the script was actually not terrible, like given how it started with this subplot this season with Zanak or whatever the hell, like it kind of came to this place of not subtlety exactly, but sort of, I don't know, letting the actors carry it, and wise choice of Meredith Monroe. She was great.
Mm-hmm. Least valuable player. The ghost of Tim.
Dude.
I realize he doesn't have free will, but still, bad guy. And also the guy who played him was not great. I like your hair. Mm. The beginning of that one clip was especially bad.
Yeah, that was, I think perhaps more time could have been taken on casting with that. I'm going to say Angry McPhee.
Mm.
Buddy, what are you fucking doing?
Mm-hmm.
Get back here and give custody of your kids to Grams right now. It's time.
Yes.
Next time on Again With This, Andy has to choose between Pacey and Treatment. Jack has to choose between Andy and Capeside. Jen has to choose between Capeside and New York. Oh, wait, New York told her she can't sit with it at lunch. And Dawson, blah, 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 film class final cakes. You should choose some soothing eye drops for yourself before you check out our visual aids, which you will find for this and every other episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. That is also where you will find a complete, EAT, archive of recap episodes, againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. And you can join the AWT Club for extra episodes and access to our Discord. All of that at Sing It With Me If You Know The Earl, againwiththispodcast.com/club. I'm Awkward Powder Room Summit, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Unusual Favorite Color, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, will rise above. Talk to you next time.
Yeah, well, you get the point.
Woo!
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.